It's the Football Sack. It's the Friday / Wednesday show. We're here at Southern Cross University recording studios. I'm Wigley. That's Christian Leyland.
Hello, everybody.
And this is the official A-League intro music.
I guess so. It's the entry music.
Entry music to the field, isn't it? And we'll be discussing more of that later on.
Yes.
We just thought it'd be interesting to put it at the start. So.
Awesome.
Let's get straight into the football talk, because it is a football-related podcast that we partake in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
so
we do.
So
they say. You'd hope so. Otherwise, we have to give back our football fans down under award.
True.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be valid.
Well, in that case, we better talk about football.
We'd better, just to keep that award, because it's a really nice trophy.
Yeah, it's my biggest pickup line.
Where is it?
It's in my house.
It's in your house. Okay.
It's on display.
Just because I got asked the other day who keeps the trophy, and I didn't know who had it.
It happened. It was one of those awkward turtle moments when I was staying at Matt's house, Matty Greenlaw, our editor.
I figured.
Down in Sydney during the awards, and it was time to go, and it was that kind of moment where we both looked at the trophy and we go, all right.
Yeah, you both reached for it at the same time. Yeah.
That's when we had to get that mediator to come and say, what we'll do is we'll cut it in half and have half each. I had to go, no, let him keep it.
Yeah, and therefore you were the right
fighter. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened too. I didn't make it up.
It's like that Simpsons episode with the comic book that the three boys all put their money together to buy. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, what
we should talk a little bit about football. The big news in the A-League this week is, of course, Harrison Kuehl is back in Australia, claiming that he's ready to go.
Again?
Which is good, because he's got a few weeks. Yeah. But the fanfare that greeted him at Melbourne Airport was unreal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very Darius Vassell in Turkey-like.
Yeah. You would have been there if you were in Melbourne, I take it. Would you have gone down?
Oh, most likely.
Yeah. Seeing as you're there. Well, not at the moment, but you...
But I will be.
Yeah, you will be.
As of Monday.
Or Sunday. On Friday.
Mm.
Yeah. Wonderful. What day are you flying?
No, I'm driving down.
So. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Well, I'll give you a few weeks. Harry Kuehl, great fanfare. He said it was like his arrival in Turkey at Galatasaray. Said that he's looking forward to, you know, to what he can do for Melbourne Victory. He acknowledged that there's going to be knockers, who are going to want to take him down a peg. He looks like he's up for the challenge.
Yeah, well, that's good to see. I mean, obviously, he's not going to come over here and just roll over and just hope things all fall into place. You know, he realizes he's going to work hard.
Yeah, rolling over is Carlos Hernandez's job.
That's right. he doesn't really roll over, he just falls flat on his back and goes, yes. Oh, that'll do me.
Yeah, and can't get off.
I love how the last couple of weeks this podcast has kind of turned into a Carlos Hernandez weight bashing podcast.
Yeah.
When it never was in the whole year previously. No. So.
Yeah, when he was in the news for being fat, we never touched on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Now just because we've had nothing to talk about, so we just poked fun at the fat kid. I was really pleased with his press conference. I think the Victory are going to do really well out of it. Mm-hmm. Memberships are selling like hotcakes down there. The whole league as a whole is going to benefit from it. And I think that the main thing for me, we can put it in dollars and cents, what the A-League's going to gain from it, what Harry's going to gain from it, and et cetera, et cetera. But a generation of kids who start playing football because Harry Kuehl plays for their local club.
Yes.
Or a team in their local league. Mm-hmm. And that's the greatest thing for me out of this.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's a whole inspired thing. You know, it's going to inspire, maybe not a generation, but quite a good, the amount of years he's playing in the league is going to inspire some kids to go and do the same thing, which is absolutely brilliant, really.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, that'll be covered in the media, so let's devote our talk to other things, because we're not the first to bring you news about that. We won't be the first to bring you news about this next story, but we'll be the first to bring you analysis of it.
Oh, very nice.
Well, maybe not, but we'll talk about it. The Central Coast Mariners are struggling for funds a little bit.
They are, which is a bit of a surprise, really. Well,
not a surprise in a sense that they've always been rich, but a surprise in a sense that, as you said when we were walking in here, you look at how to run a football club in a rural community, and they are the blueprint.
That they are. And it's a shame to see this happen because, like I said, you know, they put into the community, they do all that sort of community-based activities, and they engage themselves with the whole region.
Yeah. They're currently building this awesome complex to train at, so they don't have to train in the paddock with snakes anymore. just a really good family local club, the Mariners, and hopefully they can sort this out. There's rumours they've approached John Singleton, who's always obviously a local there, and he's always trying to get his beloved North Sydney Bears to move there and become Central Coast Bears. So, you know, the NRL doesn't seem to want that. Let's hope Singo decides to turn his back on that and throw his weight behind football.
Well, the talk on the street is that it's not so much, you know, whether Singleton's decision. It's Singleton wants to get involved, but it's whether the Mariners are ready to have him on board as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So, because, you know, the news has come out about their financial difficulty, but the president or the CEO of Mariners has come out and said, we're not healthy, but no one is at the moment, but we haven't reached rock bottom where we're going to reach out to investors yet. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you know? A little game of cat and mouse going on
there.
I think so. Don't let them know that you're fully broke.
Yes.
So that you can sell for high.
Bringing up the Bears, like you said before, because he's a rugby league man.
Yes.
And he said, I am a devout rugby league man. It's obviously my first sport. But he said, as well as a rugby league man, I'm a Central Coast man. And I said, I can see how important the Mariners are to the community. And if we lose, it'll be devastating.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to get involved.
Okay.
So it's reasonably similar to what Tinkler was saying.
I was just going to say, it sounds like the Tinkler model, doesn't it?
Which, I mean, it's very early days in the Tinkler model. But, I mean, by this stage of the Clive Palmer model, we knew it was going to happen with him. So it's looking good for Tinkler. And so, I mean, if you're going to have a rich benefactor, that'd be the way to follow. So it seems.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and that was the other thing you said as well. You know, it's sad to see a club that is run the way the Mariners are having to scrape around for funds, and a club run the way that Gold Coast have been not be scraping around for funds.
They're probably the most financially stable club in the whole league.
That's right.
Probably with Melbourne Victory.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, that is sad. So, look, we're hoping that the Mariners pull through. They're a very important part of the A-League, I think. I think rural clubs are really, really important because it's something that other leagues don't have.
Yeah, they're really the most rural club you have other than the Mariners in any league is probably Geelong.
Yes, or the Newcastle Knights, probably.
Newcastle Knights, okay, true. Yeah, no, fair enough.
But, you know, they're still from big areas. Mm. Gosford is an example of how football can bring a community in together and make a team. So, fingers crossed for the Mariners. Let's turn our attention to the Joeys, the under-16/17s team.
Yes.
They've obviously bowed out of the World Cup just recently in Mexico with pretty sort of weak performances in the end. And Coach Verslijen was supposedly under the Bunsen burner, but over it because the flame goes up.
I was going to say, he's under his spine, isn't he?
That's what you'd want to be if there's a Bunsen burner in the room.
That's right.
Verslijen has kept his job. Mm-hmm. He's taken the Joeys to Thailand for the
AFC
Under-16 Championships. And they've lost 3-2.
3-2 to the host nation.
To the host nation.
Now, I didn't see the match, and I'm not a big follower of the Thai Under-16 side, but I'm going to assume that they can't be the flashiest team around.
Yeah.
So in saying that, I assume that neither are we.
That's right. Well, I tell you, if you don't know much about the Thai under-16 side, then I don't think many people do. Mm. So Verslijen keeps his job. No questions asked. We've actually got a quote from him from his press conference after the match, and we just laughed when we heard this. He said he's very disappointed with today's performance, but he's confident that the boys will bounce back.
Now hang on a minute.
Now,
haven't we heard that before?
I think that's every single press conference he's ever done in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you know, after all, you know, we're supposedly moved so far forward with coaching, and yet it's still the same old stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, literally, because he's actually had two or three championships in the past 4 months, which is incredible in itself.
Yeah.
And literally, probably half the press conferences, that exact line has come out.
Yeah.
You know, he's disappointed in one with
form
the performance.
Or, yeah, in one form or another. But that's the gist of the press conference.
Yeah, I mean, like, the last time I remember hearing it was just before he was about to play Spain. He said they're confident of beating Spain, and I laughed. I literally laughed at the television screen.
Of course, we had a poor performance against Ivory Coast, but got a result. Mm-hmm. And he sort of said, you know, he's disappointed with the team's performance then, but we got the result, so I'm sure we'll bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, we didn't bounce back. But after that tournament as a whole, he said, yes, look, we were very disappointed with the performance, but I'm sure the boys will bounce back. And then the under-20s, of course, he took them. Yeah. You know, they got taken apart by Spain, and he was obviously very disappointed with their performance, but he was confident that they would bounce back. And he's now got a chance here at the under-16 championships for the boys to bounce back. And look, they've started with a shoddy performance, and I'm sure they're disappointed with the performance, but he's sure they'll bounce back.
It's almost worse than Robbie Slater and his sources, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Robbie Slater's sources are telling him that he expects the team to bounce back despite being disappointed with their performance.
Yeah, it's bordering on the hysterical in a way.
It's just bordering on the pathetic.
That's the word I was probably looking for, yeah.
At one point, do you say, you know what? You've had a few chances. I think we might go another direction.
Yeah, that's right. We have to. I mean, he's had so many chances. Yes, in a relatively small amount of time, but he's been with these boys for a very long time, and there's nothing to show for it.
It's like tenure as a university lecturer. This guy can't get fired.
Yes,
when he signed his contract, they didn't read the fine print. He actually put tenure in his contract. It's just unbelievable. This guy can't get fired. I'd love to walk into a job interview and do the interview. And they say, no, you didn't get the job. And you'll say, look, I'm disappointed with how the interview went, but I'm sure I'll bounce back, so I'll see you Monday when I start work. Remarkable.
It's actually crazy. And the worst thing is, youth football is about development. So a lot of the time, it's okay if you're losing every match if you're playing well. But the fact that every press conference is disappointed with the performance, and he's lost.
Yeah.
There's no positives to take out of
this.
That's
right. If you keep losing, you don't go on in the tournament and get a chance to improve your performance.
Yeah, it's really weird because... I don't understand. I can't understand how he got the job because his credentials aren't terrible, but I don't know how he's kept the job, and I don't know how he's kept the support of everyone.
Yeah.
It's craziness because they say
it's blind faith.
Yeah, it is. It's nuts, and it's something.
And I just want to pose the question: if his name wasn't Jan,
if his name was Frank,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. If his name was Fred, Tompkins or whatever, he wouldn't have his job.
No. Yeah, he wouldn't.
And that might be controversial, but I'll say it, and I reckon I'm right. If his name was John Smith, and he had those performances and those results, they'd be moving him on and looking for the next bloke. So.
That's right. Yeah, it is the Dutch thing. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm for the Dutch system. I like it. But
look, on the whole, we're moving in the right direction.
Yes. But just because you're so... you love the Dutch system so much, you're going to keep him because he's a Dutch coach. He's a rubbish Dutch coach.
That's right, yeah. They're a good Dutch coaches. Yeah, I'm not saying they're not good. Go get one. I just think it's a lot like a manager who spends a lot of money on a player and he's a dud.
Yes.
But they have to keep playing him to justify Fernando Torres at Chelsea. They've spent £50 million. He scored one goal in his 20 games. He's not really playing well, although his last couple of games has not been bad. But... they have to play him because you can't justify spending all this money and not playing this player.
That's right.
Just like the FFA, you can't justify pulling up all the grass and laying new turf and not wanting to play on it.
I still love the whole... Look, we said it before, probably the biggest positive to come out of Jan's reign as manager is that probably not many of those players are going to be playing for the senior side.
I asked you at the under-17s what are the positives. You said the positives are that when you look at under-17 progression to full Socceroos, it's not that great. Anyway, we'll move on. On to another similar theme, really. Here's the Matildas. They've arrived back in Australia, having failed to qualify for the Olympics, which is a shame, obviously. 1-3, lost 2. Of their 5 matches, was it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, is a good record. But, if they'd maybe been able to make that 3 wins, a draw and a loss, they would have been there, which is a shame. Yes, I feel for them because I think that Asia should have another qualifying spot. I don't think that's enough to go to the... Because Asia is very strong in women's football.
Well, that's right.
I don't think that the spots that were allocated were sufficient. Though, having said that, the reasons that we cited going into the Women's World Cup that Australia should be a favourite mean that we should be qualifying.
Yes, absolutely. It's see, the thing is, under Tom Smiley, it's probably the better we've played for quite a while.
Yeah.
And as I'm probably one of his biggest unfans, what would you call it? Yeah. Biggest knockers.
Yeah.
And so for me to say that, he didn't go terribly, but he's been with the team too long. The team needs a fresh approach. And because like I said before, that's 2 of the last 3 major tournaments I haven't qualified for, and that is unacceptable, no matter how good you were in the qualifiers. At the moment, you know, DPR Korea outplayed us, Japan outplayed us, even China outplayed us, but we're lucky to grab the win.
Yeah.
We played well against South Korea, but they are the poorest out of those four sides.
Yeah.
So it's one of those ones where we said, look, if you listen to the podcast, you know what we're going to say. We're going to say he needs to be moved on, and we need to get a fresh approach, and then we should be fine.
Jan Verslagen for the job?
That wouldn't put it past the FFA.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. They'd say, look, they're very disappointed with the result, but they're confident that they'll bounce back under the new management of Jan Verslagen.
But the funny thing is, they actually could bounce back and bounce back into the Olympics.
Yes, that's right. A little bit of controversy. Mm-hmm. Apparently, North Korea's players. Did you say like half a dozen of them? Five of them.
Five of them. Yes. Remember the? When we told the story how they got struck by lightning?
Yeah.
Well, they got given a some sort of ancient healing remedy to recover from being struck by lightning, which steroids. Were actually illegal drugs.
Yes. I have an ancient remedy that makes me run really fast. It's called cocaine.
I went away. You were Wendell Sailor.
Yes, that's anyway. Right. Yeah.
So that they got banned from international tournaments for a number of years from FIFA, but of course the Olympics is run by the IOC,
yes,
not FIFA.
So
they're allowed to play in it. But now FIFA are like, they shouldn't be allowed to play in that.
That's right. FIFA are now jumping in. They're going to go to the Olympics. Which I think is great if it means the Matildas get to go to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But I don't agree with the principle of it because. You know, FIFA jump up and down whenever an outside body tries to intervene with FIFA.
Including the Olympics.
Including the Olympics. When the Olympics tries to step in and sort of help out with FIFA, FIFA say, no, this is our business, mind your own. And now that the Olympics have organised this competition called the Olympics, and FIFA are saying, well, hang on, can we just sort of pick and choose who you get to invite to that tournament? It's really bizarre, actually.
Yeah, it is a little bit. It's one of those things you go, come on, man, it's not good.
Yeah. So anyway, that's that covered. We should talk a little bit about some interaction that we had. Mm-hmm. We asked on the show last week, what are the little tweaks that you would make to the A-League? So, we're not talking about massive changes, just little tweaks here and there that you would like to see.
Of course, we mentioned ours.
Mine was, I want each club to have their own goal nets, white goal nets if you want,
they
black
get to choose
if you
whatever
want.
They want.
So just for individuality for the stadiums, so it's not doesn't look like you know a European Championships or a World Cup where mm-hmm. all the stadiums and the nets look the same, because I just hate the yellow goal nets basically. And yours was that you'd like to see the thrown. You know,
well, I wouldn't like to see them.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say thrown away.
Yes.
Or ideally used in a garden, which is what the purpose where they were manufactured for. And you'd like to see the players move back 6 feet and sit on the benches that currently sit behind their garden chairs. Mm. So, those were ours. We asked for the responses. We got a lot.
Unfortunately.
And a lot of people didn't actually give us new responses. They just said, yeah, I agree with those. that wasn't what we were asking so much.
Yeah, like it's flattering to know that you know, half the following population feel compelled to tell us we were right, but it doesn't really move us forward,
that's
as you
right.
said.
Yeah, it's constant patting yourself on the back and you just go round and round. It's like the Australian cricket selectors saying they did a good job when we lost the Ashes. So they've selected themselves.
Oh, your husband Slayton talking.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. well done, boys. You know, we're obviously disappointed, but we'll bounce back.
You know, he'd make a good gymnastics coach, wouldn't he?
Yes, trampolinist. Yeah, a lot of bounce back ability. So here's some of the interaction we asked. Paul Williams got in touch on Twitter, and he said that the Hyundai A-League patch, so the logo basically, mm-hmm. Should move from the front of the shirt to the sleeve. And we agreed.
I think so. I mean, most major leagues in the world, football leagues, Association football leagues, have the patch on the sleeve.
Yes, the Premier League, La Liga, the Championship, all those sort of things.
The one differing thing is the Serie A have the Italian flag in the middle.
That's right, in the middle of the shirt.
Yes.
But that's just something they do.
They do, yeah.
I'm not a massive fan of it. I like the sleeves, actually. Mm. So, yeah, that I do agree with that, actually.
I think that's a really, really good point, and I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that's a great example of a little tweak.
Mm.
It's not going to be a huge change, but it's a little tweak that we think we can improve. So well done, Paul. He also said that he thinks the Hyundai A-League logo should not be on supporters' merchandise. That one we didn't agree with so much.
No, not so much. I mean, because two reasons for me. is that one, you know, if the logo is on merchandise, that's going to increase the brand awareness. Yeah. And so people will see the A-League logo in their face and start to recognise it more often, which is what we need.
Yes.
And secondly of all, because you look at NRL merchandise, you look at Super 14 merchandise, you look at AFL merchandise, they all have their logo on the supporters.
I think it just makes sense too. And I think that, you know, there's a reason that fans pay money for their official gear and it's to look official. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to go buy the knockoff Kmart stuff, then you can. But if people are going to pay their money, they're going to want the official gear.
That's right.
So, look, I'm all for the logo staying on supporters gear. Put it on the front if you want, on the chest, on the supporters gear, as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. as long as it's there. But I do support the sleeve thing.
Yeah, I think that's really good, and I'd actually something I'd really like to see.
I'd also like to see, since we're on that topic, I'm just coming up with this ad lib, but I think that I would like to see the A-League logo, if on the sleeve, become a patch rather than a print. But that's just, do you know what I mean? Sort of like an actual sort of patch that is stitched on rather than an iron-on print. Mm-hmm. I just think that a little bit more quality there.
Yeah, okay.
Just a little bit.
Is it, see, because I know early on it was printed on, but I think some clubs actually have it as a patch or as a stitch.
Well, it was a Reebok thing printing it. So this season we may see a few clubs actually stitch it on.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Hmm. Matthew Brawler got in touch and said he'd like to see an expanded bench. He said that four isn't enough options for managers. So four players on a bench, he means, isn't enough options, and we agreed with that.
Mm-hmm, exactly, because one of them has to be a keeper too. So
that's right.
You've only got three outfield players.
Yeah, and you know, you've got defender, midfielder, attacker. And I think that that is constrictive in how much it allows managers to change the shape of their team mid-match.
Absolutely.
You know, and I don't see why you can't have five. I don't see why you can't have six or seven. And you know, if you made it seven, you can put your goalkeeper, you know, three senior pros, and you know, a bunch of kids or whatever. And just, you know, they don't have to get on, but it's match day experience for them.
Exactly. So, I mean, you talk to some youth players in the Premier League who never eventually make it. You ask the highlight, they go, well, my highlight was sitting on the bench for our derby.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And because even just sitting on the bench being part of the team is amazing for that sort of team.
It really is, yeah. So fantastic, you know, thought to open up the bench and involve more people. I just don't see why it has to be four. Do you know the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, back when the A-League started, because we had the small squad size, there was only four on the bench allowed, so there's less chance of injury, so they didn't have to expand to the squad. It was basically just to kind of, you know, make sure that A-League clubs didn't have to bring in extra players due to injury because extra fatigue and stuff.
So it's just a matter of involving less people in the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I know when Rooney Coolen came to Adelaide last year, within 5 weeks he'd already had a bit of a rant about how it needs to be five minimum.
Yeah.
Because that's what the EPL used to be. Now EPL itself is seven.
It's seven, yeah.
So it's, and with an international tournament, it's a whole squad's allowed on the bench.
Yeah.
So
I just don't see why that can't be the case all the time. You know, I don't see why you have to have a match day squad. And then tell other people to go sit in the stand and put your suit on and watch. You know, I'd love if anyone out there can tell me why that reasoning is, because I genuinely don't know why you can't have a really large squad.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Granted, it will cost the FFA a lot of money because those Bunnings chairs are about $20 a pop. So yeah, there'd be a lot more. The bigger squads in the league are going to cost the A League a lot.
Well, not necessarily, because any squad members who aren't playing, just half of them sit on the bench anyway.
Yeah, so you often see them there in their suit, just sitting there because there's a free seat.
I think that's great. They're sitting on a suit on a Bunnings chair on a field.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not just the Bunnings chairs that's going to cost them money. It's that little plastic mat they're going to roll out underneath. You know, costs are skyrocketing if you talk about moving the bench along a little bit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Andrew Burkett said that his minor A-League improvement would be to have each club do their own match day program. So it's personalised to the club. Mm-hmm. And I agree 100%. I asked you if you knew of any fanzines that clubs do themselves, and you said you didn't know of any. The Total 90, is it, that magazine called?
Yes, yeah. Total 90, Beyond the 90, something Beyond like that. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Before the 90, after the 90, during the 90, Watch the 90. Magazine, it's like a magazine that becomes the program, and it's a league-wide thing.
Yeah, it's a tiny little piece of crap, costs $5.
Yeah, that's right. And it wasn't bad for the first couple of seasons because it was something shiny and went with the theme of the league, but I'd love to see each club do their own thing. Now, that magazine isn't happening this year.
That's been cut, yes.
Yes, so I have a feeling we might see a few clubs bring out their programs.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. Let's hope clubs don't just think, we won't do one. Mm. Because the match day program is really, really important to football. You brought back some programs from the States, and they were great.
Yeah, they were brilliant, absolutely, because you would have had a flick through. I'm like, I brought a couple copies of each for you to take home, and they're brilliant. They got the interviews with the people, they got, and it's club specific. Well, there was two. There was one league specific one, yes, kind of right. Like the
magazine,
90,
yeah.
And there was the club specific one, and you get both the game.
Yeah, so if you want to, you can go read about what else is happening elsewhere in the league.
Yes, yes.
But most fans want to know what's happening with their team. And when you brought those back to me, the first thing I noticed was the quality of them, and it translated to me into the quality of the product on offer, which is the league. It was reflected in that program.
Yes.
So let's hope that we don't get black and white photocopy stapled together.
Let's hope not. We don't get a Queensland State League program happening or something. So, but yeah, think about the, I don't think I mentioned those MLS programs are actually free.
Oh, you're kidding?
Both of them. No, I'm not. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
I thought you brought me back a nice gift, but picking up rubbish off the floor. I thought, I'll bring that back for Jack. He'll like that.
He'll like that. I brought back those nudie cards from Vegas for someone else. So consider yourself lucky.
Okay, great. Yeah. So free. Wow. That's amazing.
So, because I was going to buy, this is 100% honest truth. I was going to buy them anyway because I actually went up to the person with
cash
in my hand.
Yeah.
And he just gave them to me. And I'm like, I didn't ask questions. I just put the money back in my pocket and just kept walking. And and then I saw someone else down there. I'm like, so are these free? And he's like, yeah, man, they're free. So you just can grab them. So
that's fantastic, isn't it?
It's great. Obviously, if clubs are going to produce their own, they probably put a small charge on them so they break even. Yeah. And I'm sure most fans wouldn't have a problem
with that. I'd love the FFA to give each club a little bit of money to do programs, to hand out.
Mm.
You know, only a few. If you get there, if you're in the first 5,000 people to get to a game, you get a program.
Yes.
You know, something like that. It wouldn't cost too much, I don't think.
Mm. And it's good because if you're a Gold Coast fan, they'll give you the reruns of last week's because they think they didn't hit the 5,000.
You get there and you, you get two coffees.
Yeah, that's right.
So, if you're in the first sort of 3,000 at Gold Coast game, you'll get today's program and last week's program. So, great initiative.
It's cool.
Next, person, Jonathan Peterson, got in touch. He said, hi guys, I'd like Sydney FC to play more games at Parramatta Stadium. It's closer to where the majority of football supporters are in Sydney's west. And the SFS is a great place to get to. Is a difficult place to get to unless you live in the eastern suburbs. Many people I know would prefer to go up to Blue Tongue Stadium in Gosford as it's easier and more pleasant when you're there and cheaper.
So he's living in Sydney's west and it's too hard to go to the SFS, but he's fine with going to Gosford.
Apparently.
Okay. Disregarding that little last bit, which I don't quite follow, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where a lot of people do want to go play at Parramatta, but it's already been shown that it's actually contractually impossible at the moment. Sydney FC are wrapped up in a contract with the SFS for a very long term. And to be fair to it,
it's a good contract.
I think Sydney FC actually make money for most of their home games because they're on such a good deal with
it. That's right. And if they get a big crowd, they make a lot of money.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm all for them staying at the Sydney Football Stadium. Mm-hmm. I think Sydney FC is... it started off as Bling FC, and I think it needs to remain that sort of look. Because then, if a team comes into Western Sydney, we don't want it taking Sydney's turf. It needs to be its own turf.
Yeah, that's right. So if Sydney FC move their home ground into Sydney's west, what's going to happen when a West Sydney team is actually started?
Are you just going to move Sydney FC back to the east?
And that's kind of defeated the purpose.
It'll be like a reject club in the east.
Yes.
Whereas this way, it stays Sydney's club.
That's right.
Until there's another club when it becomes Eastern Sydney's club.
Exactly. I think you kind of need that bit of a rivalry too, because you even if you have two clubs in the West, it's not really the same. You need a glamour club and you need a club for the blue collar workers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what creates a really strong rivalry.
Yeah.
So I guess Yankees and Mets in baseball is a good example of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Look, I think that it's something I'd like to see, obviously, is another team there when it's viable.
Yes.
But at this stage, when Sydney have taken games to the Parramatta Stadium, they've just got Sydney FC crowds. They've got SFS crowds at Parramatta Stadium. Mm. It's not like they've gone to Parramatta Stadium and they've had to put up the house full sign and there was 10,000 people waiting outside who couldn't get in. So, if that were the case, I'd be open to them splitting their games even. Or if it was at that stage, I'm sure a second team would be in the pipeline.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, once a season or twice a season games where Sydney take them to Parramatta, if they were selling the crowds out and if Parramatta were proving that they deserve the games there, then I'd be all for it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like when they used to take AFL games to the Gold Coast. They used to sell out Carrara, so they put a Gold Coast team there.
That's right,
because it's ready and supported.
Yeah, they'd say give us a team.
That's right.
So is that okay? And they did.
So Parramatta haven't really done that when Sydney FC have demonstrated their games there. So.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. People either want it or they don't want it. But at the moment, I'm happy with the current situation.
All right. Let's talk about Patrick Barnes. He said he likes the goal nets at Westpac Stadium. The yellow ones, yeah, sorry.
That kind of makes sense because Phoenix are yellow. Sorry.
Yes, that's right. But
that's your point.
That's my point. I'd love to go, oh, they've got yellow goal nets. That's cool because they play in yellow. Mm. You know, that sort of thing.
You compare to CDC. Wow, they got yellow goal nets and they play in blue.
Blue, exactly, yeah. Melbourne Victory in their dark blue. They could use a dark blue goal net,
yes,
a la Manchester City, something like that. I'd love to see the Heart use the Sunderland red and white stripes. You know, go well with those green seats in that stupid stadium.
Sorry. Which leaks, apparently.
I watched a documentary yesterday on the Discovery Channel about the building of Amy Park.
Yes.
And it was great, though. You know, phenomenal documentary in the amount of work that goes into it. And they spent a big section of the time talking about these new seats that are this awesome glass/carbon fiber mix that they're unbreakable. You have to hit them with an axe before you can break a seat, you know, so when fans jump on them, they don't break. And that's awesome. Why green? I know we're going over old turf and we've discussed it in the past. In fact, I'm going to just throw it out there. If anyone knows, you know, like for real, why they went with green, please get in touch. I'll read it out and I'll thank you on the show and we'll send you a prize. We'll send you a book if you can tell us.
I've got half an answer.
Yeah.
Since the Amy Park's been created, 2 Victorian Premier League grand finals have been played there.
Green Gully.
Both of Green Gully. That's right. It was built for Green Gully.
That's right.
The Cavaliers have an insider.
They've put the seats in the stadium in the off chance that in the one match that gets played there that season from the VPL contains a team named Green Gully.
Yeah.
Look, I can't argue with that.
That's right.
That is tight. That is watertight. Unlike the roof, which apparently leaks.
And just to solidify that, there's also Bentley Greens in the VPL. So that they got double the chance, don't they?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. What was I thinking criticising?
I don't know, Jack. You're silly, silly.
What
man.
Was I doing criticising the fact that all the teams who play there, none of them wear green? I should have been thinking about the teams who don't play there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not even the teams who play there like once a year as an away team. It's the teams that might play there
if they're lucky by making the grand final.
Yeah. He also said that he liked, we're going back to Patrick Barnes here, he's also said that he liked to see refs mic'd up for TV like they are in rugby, and they are this season, which is great.
We chatted about before, we said we didn't know when it's going to happen, if it's going to be on constantly like the rugby, so you can just hear it in the background, or if they're only going to focus in like league when players
turn it on.
Either way, it's going to be a good thing, I think. Yeah,
I'm looking forward. I'm sure. The next, at Coin JP, that might be Jamie Coyne, because he said that he'd like to see the
depends.
Leaks.
Can he spell?
Well, he says he'd like to see the leaks fixed in Amy's roof. It could be Jamie Coyne because obviously he's sitting on the bench, sitting in the stands watching and getting wet, and he doesn't quite fancy that. So that's a little bit. They were the people who got in touch with us via Twitter. We also had some interaction on Facebook, which of course you can do.
Well, we have one more on Twitter, which had to do with our theme music, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We'd like to see the A-League music, the No Doubt song, get rid of that. Which was, of course, the music that we played at the start, which was the that is the generic song that gets played for the walkout for every club
and every club and every stadium.
Do we know why?
We don't know why.
I'm all for something like that gets the fans to know that it's A-League time. The Premier League has the Premier League anthem that they play while the teams are shaking hands, that sort of thing. I think that each team should be able to choose its walkout music, like the Premier League.
Absolutely.
Then play a short clip if you're going to have an A-League anthem while the teams shake hands. Yeah, maximum a minute long.
Yep.
And don't make it an old pop song from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So that's the criteria I've laid down for the A-League.
Cool. Yeah, see, I got no problem with walkout songs, but I think what the whole crux of most of these small changes are is that the fans want their clubs to be able to have a say in what they can do in regards to little things. The walkout songs, the logos on their shirts, the colour of their nets, etc., you know. The clubs should get to have a say.
Make it their club.
Not
the A-League's club that they go watch.
Because basically, you go to a match day experience, it's going to be the same except for the two colours of the teams running out. You know, And that's what they want changed. They want to be able to go to Suncorp and have an orange net and listen to a local Brisbane band's famous music playing out or something like that. Yes. You know, because you want every club to have it.
Yeah, I'm sure the Raw fans would rather their club ran out to Powderfinger.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to No Doubt.
That's right.
Which has no relevance to the league.
Yeah, well, No Doubt that's the case. So
that's right. Yeah.
Oh my god,
that's really, really bad.
It's gonna be one of the worst ones.
Yeah, that's down there. Yeah. So on Facebook, we had a few people post some interesting things. Kane Brennan posted he'd like to see refs that aren't complete shit. So it's just a little tweak. Which was quite good. I think that you know, there were suggestions. Corey Barrera said, a promotion relegation system, etc.
Again, only a small thing.
Yeah, that's right, a small thing. Yeah, here's a small thing. Anthony Smith said he'd like to see a star system like in the Bundesliga, where for each time you've won the title, well, not for each time, but there's a system like they get to put a star above their badge.
Depending on how many championships they've won.
That's basically what I've spent the last 30 seconds trying to spit out. Yes. Thank you. So three championships gets you a star, etc., etc. I'm not sure why he's gone. He's got three championships is a star. Five championships is two stars. Why not just have six? Why don't you just get one for each three?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure why it has to change, but I do like the concept.
The concept, yeah. Yes, yes.
So we
don't have a concept either like the Champions League or the FA, where you know if you win it five times or three times in a row, you get to keep the trophy.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool.
Actually, I'm all for that because it means getting rid of that damn toilet seat. Yeah, keep the trophy, lock it away.
Yeah.
And let's make a new one.
In saying that, I probably don't like that idea right now because at the moment Melbourne Victory are the closest to getting to keep a trophy. So.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, fair play to them. But what would you like the next A-League trophy to be? What would you rather the A-League trophy looked like? You know, just go. Yeah, walk into your bathroom and do a quick scan of the room and see what you see that you think represents. Yeah, that's what we're going to model our trophy on our new league on.
I just got this vision in my head of a Dickie Carl lifting up a shower head.
Yeah, and drying. Yeah, but it's not, you know, not in the fridge.
Yeah.
I'm looking there. You know, there's apples and
there's many household goods we could choose for the A-League trophy.
I would love to see next season the Central Coast Mariners come through their financial difficulties and lift up the golden toaster. That would give me a lot of pleasure.
Yeah. And you get other items for the minor premiership trophy as well.
Yeah,
that could go out to the garden or the pool shed or something. Yeah.
Well, I know the only thing it will be garden related. It'll be a golden garden chair. And it'll be known as the Bunnings Trophy.
Well, there is. Okay, I want to hear these. I don't care if they're funny or serious answers, but I want to hear what people reckon the A-League trophy should actually be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. So you can contact us, Twitter us, @TheFootballSack, Facebook us by joining Facebook, and once you've got a profile, and if you've already got a profile, you don't even have to do that.
Oh, wow.
This is how easy it is.
It just gets better.
Yeah, that's right. It's just cutting corners. Look us up on The Football Sack on Facebook.
Yeah, facebook.com/TheFootballSack.
Yeah, or just info@TheFootballSack is our email address at the site, so you can just hit us there. We go through and we read all those as well, so... be in touch. Before we wrap it up, because we're running over time, which is nice, considering there's no football that's been played to talk about, we should talk about Football Fans Down Under.
Yes.
In conjunction with Football Federation Victoria.
Yes, and Football Fives.
And Football Fives are...
they're doing a Guinness World Record attempt.
Yes.
Also along with Movember. All funds raised are going to the Movember charity.
Oh, really?
Which, of course, we did early last year with the Movember competition.
That's right. And I am proud to announce that I have started growing my beard, which will be trimmed come November.
Mm-hmm.
So I should have a pretty solid one.
Very nice. Yeah, so basically the Guinness World Record attempt is the most people involved in a football match.
Yes.
And they're aiming for 555 people.
That's the current... is there a current record?
It's really low. It's like under... It's like 60.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so wow. They're hoping, let's set the bar high and hold that record for a while.
We're going 555 because to promote football fives, so using the word five.
Okay, righto, great. And the format, is it like... 5-a-side? No, run subs on? Is it 11? Is it just a, like in the old days when two towns would just kick a sheep's skull between the two of them until it got to the other end, until it reached the post office of one of the towns?
For it to be an official Guinness World Record, it has to be played according to FIFA rules. So it's 11-a-side with a referee and two touch judges, two goalkeepers at all times.
And just subs?
Just subs. I think just subbing a lot.
Imagine the garden chairs for the bench. Unbelievable. It's just going to go all the way around the ground like a few times.
Mm-hmm. The only law which the Guinness has said doesn't have to be is you don't have to stop the game for subbing. It can just be rolling subs like futsal, which is good because
that's
otherwise
the game would last 7 weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
You think there's pressure on players to kick it out when a player gets injured in the Premier League. Imagine the people who have been waiting 3 days to get on the field. Kick it out!
Yeah, so apparently they're going to start at 11-a-side and they've got a certain time period. Everyone gets a certain amount of time on the pitch and they get rolled off and eventually 555 people play
They
football.
Get rolled off, so Carlson Enders is playing.
It's like Gavin Muscat hits him first and Ryan Anders rolls him off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's great. Also, before we go, check out thefootballsack.com because we've got a new interview up with Robbie Middleby and Thiago Carvalho.
Yes.
Newcastle Jets new signing. So that will be amazing and awesome.
Mm.
And yeah.
Because, we saw that, we've got Thiago plays for obviously Barcelona, Carvalho plays for Real Madrid. Mm. The Jets obviously thought they couldn't sign both of those guys, so they just signed a guy named Thiago Carvalho. So that's
getting
fantastic.
Two birds the one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've signed both of them for the one transfer fee, which is great to see. Great initiative. Talk about that. Tinkler must have some money to get Thiago and Carvalho for the Jets. Thank you very much for listening to the Friday show on a Wednesday. Let's hope that they know it's been recorded early so people aren't tuning in on a Friday getting 2-day-old news.
Yes.
But it's still entertaining.
Oh, of course.
Just laugh at how wrong we were at everything we've said if it's been proved wrong since then.
Or send us an email telling us how good we were if we were right.
Yes. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. See you next time.